Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Well, hi there, church. It's great to have you join us online again today. And we are very happy as a church this weekend because we are also back with our in-person services. And we expected the last weekend that the president might let us come back to 100 per service. He's given us 250 per service, and we're incredibly grateful for that. And obviously, if you're watching online today, I'm assuming you're not going to be in our in-person services, but I do want to encourage you that there is no place like being in church, in the building, in the presence of God. And so I want to encourage you, make sure for next weekend that you book Wednesday, 8:30 in the morning. Services become available. We've got a number of different service options. And I know sometimes it's easier and more convenient watching at home, but do what you can, do what you need to do to book for our in-person services next weekend. Now, today I want to start a new series that I really believe will help us all navigate some of the difficult things we have to deal with in life, particularly the things that we didn't expect to happen. And I think if the last 18 months have taught us anything, it's this. It's that things happen in life that we don't expect to happen, and they often come at a time when we're unprepared or not sufficiently equipped to deal with them properly, and I'm sure you can give an amen to that. Now, baseball is a sport that's not very popular in South Africa, but there's a term in baseball that most of you've probably heard of before, and it's called a curveball. Now, a curveball is when the pitcher, that's the guy who throws the ball, when he holds the ball with a certain type of grip, and once he throws the ball or releases it, the ball curves or dips off its natural line and pretty much surprises the person trying to hit it because it's something that you weren't expecting the ball to do. And so in baseball, to become a successful batter, well, you need to be able to respond correctly when a curveball comes your way. And I think most of you would know that in life, we also get curveballs thrown at us. And in fact, the Collins Dictionary says that if someone throws you a curveball, they surprise you by doing something that you do not expect. Now, let me ask you an obvious question. Have you ever had something in your life that took you by surprise? You know, something you hadn't expected or that you weren't prepared for. I mean, of course you have. All of us can relate to that. You know, maybe over the last while, you were called into your boss's office and you thought he was going to give you a promotion, and he ended up telling you that they no longer require your services, and so you were retrenched. You didn't expect it. You were not prepared for it. That was a curveball you were thrown. Or maybe your spouse has been unfaithful to you and you thought you were happily married. You thought things were going well, only to find that your spouse had been cheating on you. You didn't expect it. You weren't prepared for it. That's a curveball. Or maybe you were diagnosed with an illness when life was good, things were going well, and then you got sick. You didn't expect it. You weren't prepared for it. It was a curveball. You know, at the end of 2019, when Yannette got diagnosed with cancer, that was a huge curveball for us. And, you know, thank God she's come through that season. And in fact, just last week, she had another checkup with a doctor. She's all clear. All is good. We thank God for that. But it was a curveball that we had to navigate. You know, perhaps recently you've lost a loved one. I know our team has done many, many funerals over this COVID season. And this loved one you assumed would always be part of your life. You didn't expect to lose them. You weren't prepared for it. That's a curveball. And I think these are just some of the curveballs in life that we have to deal with. And unfortunately, not everyone manages to overcome them. Now, I think COVID has probably been a curveball that was thrown to the whole world. I mean, none of us could have predicted it would happen. Certainly, none of us expected that a year and a half later, we'd still be trying to overcome this thing. But you know, church, the bad news in life is that life is full of curveballs. The good news, though, is that the Bible is full of God's wisdom to help us respond the right way so that we don't get knocked out by these curveballs, but rather so that we can overcome the curveballs of life. Now, the author Mark Edwards says, You can't control the curveballs life throws at you, so you have to learn how to control yourself and change quickly to make sure the curveball doesn't knock you out. And so today I want to start a series called Overcoming the Curveballs of Life. Overcoming the Curveballs of Life. Now, what we're going to do is spend a few weeks in the book of Jonah in the Old Testament because we see that Jonah was thrown a number of curveballs. I mean, he had to deal with things that he didn't expect. He certainly wasn't prepared for them. And the thing with Jonah is that not all of his responses were good ones. Jonah made some poor decisions. He didn't always get it right. And I think because of that, he's someone that we can all relate to. And I think it's fair to say that all of us have a bit of Jonah on the inside. Now, I want to begin by giving you a bit of background information on Jonah, just so that you understand the context of his life, because context is always important. Jonah was an Old Testament prophet who lived in the 8th century BC. He was from the northern part of Israel, and his ministry took place at the time when Amaziah was king of Judah and Jeroboam II was king of Israel. And it's interesting that Jewish tradition says that Jonah was actually the son of the widow of Zarephath, whom Elijah restored to life. Now, of course, the Bible doesn't confirm this, so we don't quite know whether that's true or not, but it would seem that Jonah was the successor to Elijah and Elisha and probably knew them both. And we see that the story of Jonah begins as follows. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are." Now, the first truth we see here in this story is this. Sometimes God throws us a curveball. Isn't that interesting? You know, the first curveball we see in Jonah's life is one that God threw at him. The Lord surprised Jonah by giving him a mission that he very clearly did not expect and one that he felt completely unqualified for. God told Jonah to go preach in a city called Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, and the Assyrians at the time were the great enemies of Israel, and some ancient historians have actually said that Nineveh at the time was probably the largest city in the world, and the Ninevites were also very well known for their cruelty towards those they didn't like. They were a brutal nation, and you know, with their enemies, they were known to bury them alive sometimes. Other times they'd impale them on sharp poles and they'd even skin people alive. And now God was telling Jonah to go preach to the Ninevites. And I mean, you can imagine what Jonah's thinking. He's thinking, "No way, Lord. Not me. I'm not the right guy for this job. Lord, have you seen what they do to people who go preach in Nineveh? Have you heard how evil those people are? God, I'm definitely not equipped for this job. And even if I was, there's no way I'm going to Nineveh." Now, of course, it's easy to point the finger at Jonah and think, "Oh, we'd never do that. We would never run from the call of God." But, you know, I wonder, church, how many of us have tried to get away from God when he's asked us to do something that we didn't think he should be asking us to do? And maybe like me, maybe you've had a similar conversation with God as Jonah did. Because, you know, what happens when God tells you, he says, "Hey, it's time for you to start serving in church." And you've been telling God how busy you are and that you just haven't got time for anything else. And God says, "No, you need to serve in church now." Or what happens when miracle offering comes around again this year and God says, "This year you're going to give the biggest amount you've ever given." And in your heart, you weren't planning on giving anything at all because, you know, business has been slow and COVID and finances are tight and all of that stuff. Or what about when God tells you to share your testimony with a work colleague and it's someone you don't like and you've been praying for them, except you've been praying that God would strike them down with lightning. Now he says, "Go tell them about me." or when God tells you to step out in faith and start your own business. And you've just been telling everyone how comfortable you are at work and it's your dream job and it's everything you've wanted. What about those of you who God calls to full-time ministry and you just feel completely inadequate and you think you're the last person that should be in full-time ministry? You see, God often throws us a curveball, but not because he's trying to harm us or embarrass us, but because he wants to use us to be part of his greater plan and purpose on the earth. Can you say amen to that? Now, the Christian writer John Stange says that sometimes God tells us things we don't want to hear. Sometimes he asks us to be obedient to him in ways that conflict with our preferences or personal goals. Sometimes he confronts the prevailing logic of our generation and asks us to go in a different direction. Now, we see from the scripture that God gave Jonah a very clear instruction about what to do and where to go. But the Bible tells us that Jonah actually ran away from God because he was desperate to get away from the curveball that God had thrown him. Why? Well, simply because it didn't fit in with Jonah's own plans for his life. Jonah 1 verse 3 says, "But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord." Then it says he went down to the port of Joppa. Notice that word down there. And it's interesting that when you run in the opposite direction from what God has called you to, your life will always go down. It will never go up. Things will never get better. You will never see God's favor. It will always go down and down and down for as long as you run. It says he went down to the port of Joppa where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. So when God throws you a curveball, firstly, number one, don't run from God. Don't run from God. You know, Jonah did what generally comes naturally to us when God asks something of us. We often want to run away. We want to get as far away from this thing as possible. Oh, not me, Lord. Please, God, send someone else, anyone else, just not me, Lord. Now, it's interesting that Nineveh was on the east side of where Jonah was, about 900 kilometers away. But the place that he was running to, Tarshish, was on the west side in the complete opposite direction. And it was about 4,000 kilometers away from where Jonah was. And you see, here's the thing, church. When you run from God, it will always cost you more time. It will cost you more effort. And it will definitely cost you more money than if you just listen to God in the first place. And yet it's amazing how often people think they can run away from God or they can run away from their problems or they can run away from all the pressures that they face and all the responsibilities they have to carry. I mean, people often think, you know, if I can just run away from my troubled marriage, life will be better. If I can just run away from my troubled job or my troubled business, then things will be better. You know, I'm sure we've all thought at some stage in the last year, if we could just run away from COVID, things will be better. But how many of you know we can't run away? Remember what David said to the Lord in Psalm 139? He said, "I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there." You know, you cannot hide from God. And yet so many people seem to think that they can. And unfortunately, so often, even in church, you know, we see people go through hardships or life throws them a big curveball and almost knocks them over. And rather than running to God, they run from God. They stop attending church. They stop watching online. They stop serving. They stop giving. And it's like they think, if I can just get away from everything, then somehow everything's going to be okay. But remember this, church, where you are, there you are. Where you go, your problems go. Where you go, your brokenness goes. Where you go, your baggage goes, as well as all the other issues that you're trying to run away from. We cannot hide from the things we need to confront and deal with. Now, a guy called Joe Louis was the world heavyweight boxing champion from 1937 until he retired in 1949. And in 1946, Joe Louis was preparing to defend his title against a very skilled fighter called Billy Conn. And everyone warned Joe Louis to watch out for Conn's great speed and his tactics in the ring of kind of darting around and moving quickly out of his opponent's range. But, you know, Joe Louis was a confident man, and in his response to reporters, he very confidently and famously said, "He can run, but he can't hide." You know, Jonah thought he was clever. He thought he could hide away from God by running in the opposite direction. But the further he drifted away from God, the more complicated his life became, and the more his problems began to escalate. You know, I can remember when I was a teenager many, many years ago. I was in church one Sunday morning. It was a very small Presbyterian church where, I mean, the average age there was around 60. And there was a lady preaching. I'll never forget her name. It was Jill Taylor. And on this particular day, she, at the end of a message, she started calling people up to the front to be prayed for. And I was sitting in the back. I was bored. I was distracted. I was, you know, thinking about all sorts of other things. And all of a sudden, she points to me to come to the front. And of course, you know, I started looking behind me because I thought she's not talking to me. And then, of course, I realized I was in the back row. There was no one behind me. And everyone next to me was pointing and tapping on my shoulder to say, "She's talking to you. She's calling you. Off you go." And anyway, I went up to the front there, and she started speaking over my life and telling me that God had set me apart for ministry, that I was going to be in full-time ministry one day. And I mean, I was standing there. I mean, I had my head bowed because that's what you did. But I was standing there like a stunned mullet. I was like Jonah thinking, "What? You've got the wrong person. You've confused me with a guy in the other row next to me. You know, ministry is the last thing on my radar. I've got other plans. I want to do stuff. I don't want to be in ministry. You must be joking." And I guess like Jonah, I probably ran from God because, well, that curveball was not what I expected. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I had my own plans, and, you know, ministry didn't fit in with that. And I don't know whether I intentionally ran from God, but I do know that it was at least another 13 to 14 years before I responded to that call again. And during that time, of course, well, I'd done a lot of stupid things. You know, my life had become very complicated and messy. And I know that I wasted a lot of years, many, many years, pursuing things and getting involved with people that was never, ever God's best for my life. Church, can I encourage you today? Don't run from God. Some of you have been running for too long. Some of you have been putting off doing the very thing that God has been asking you to do. Maybe you've tried to ignore God's voice. Maybe you've tried to pray it away. You thought, if I keep praying, maybe God will forget and change his mind. Maybe you've tried to convince yourself that, you know, it was actually the devil talking to you. But you cannot hide from God no matter where you run to. The second thing when God throws you a curveball is this, is that he sees something in us that we don't yet see. He sees something in us that we don't yet see. Now, of course, God knew who Jonah was. He knew what Jonah was capable of. I mean, God had created Jonah. God had put all the gifts and talents on the inside of him. And when God called Jonah, it was because he saw something in Jonah that Jonah hadn't yet seen in himself. Now, in the book of Judges, we read of another guy who was also thrown a curveball by God. And that was a guy called Gideon. And, you know, one day Gideon was going about his own work. He's minding his business. And And out of nowhere, this very fast curveball comes and pretty much almost takes him out. Because at that time, the Israelites were being oppressed and persecuted by the Midianites. And the Bible actually says that many of them were hiding in caves, fearing for their lives. And then in Judges 6, verse 12, it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I'm sending you. Oh, but Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family. The Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Now, I always find it interesting in this passage that, you know, when the angel first speaks to Gideon, he addresses him as mighty hero. And I'm pretty sure Gideon must have been thinking, no, you've got the wrong address. Keep going three doors down on the other side of the road. That's where the mighty hero lives. I'm just Gideon. I'm just a nice guy. In fact, I'm a bit of a mommy's boy, a nobody really. And, you know, I come from a family of nobodies. Now, you definitely got the wrong guy. But you see, just like with Jonah, God saw something in Gideon that Gideon hadn't seen yet. I love what Stephen Furtick writes. He says, God sees my potential even when I don't. You know, Mother Teresa is someone who most people have heard of, and she was an Albanian nun who gave years of her life to serve the poorest of the poor in India. And she's been hailed by many as one of the greatest humanitarians who've ever lived. But what many people don't know is that Mother Teresa also struggled for years with the calling of God on her life. You know, she first felt called to minister to the poor at the age of 12. Then when she was 18, she moved to India. But in a book called The Love That Made Saint Teresa, the author David Scott writes that once she was in India, her next 18 years were not spent with the poor. They were actually spent in the privileged surroundings of the Loreto Convent in Calcutta. And he writes in the book, and he says of her that her conversion to the poor came slowly. You know, also in some of the letters that Mother Teresa wrote to her spiritual directors, she often wrote about how incapable and weak she felt to do what God had called her to. You know, she also thought that she was too sinful to be used by God, and she admits to regularly being frightened because of the hardship and the ridicule that she would endure. And at one point, she actually promised God that she would only be a good nun if he let her stay in her comfortable convent. But of course, God knew what he'd placed on the inside of her. He saw the potential he'd put there, and what he needed from her was not to run from him, but actually to run to him. You see, how it works, church, is in the one hand, God has his purposes for humanity, which of course is to save as many as possible. In the other hand, he sees the potential that he's put on the inside of us. And so when God throws us a curveball, he's not doing it to knock us over, but it's to bring the two together, to align our potential with his purpose. Now, I don't know what God is calling you to, but one thing I do know is this: it's bigger than who you currently are. But God would not call you to that if he didn't know that you were capable of becoming the person that he's calling you to be. Why? Because God will always equip you to do what he's called you to do. Can you say amen to that? And then the third thing when God throws you a curveball is this, is that his strength compensates for our weakness. His strength compensates for our weakness. You know, I think if there's anyone in Scripture who knew about curveballs, it was Paul. You know, once he gave his heart to the Lord, man, Paul's life was a succession of curveballs. But I think most people would agree that apart from Jesus, Paul was the single most influential person in the Bible. You see, when we respond to the curveballs well, God uses them to grow us, to increase our capacity, to develop our spiritual giftings. And of course, we learn to rely on the Lord instead of relying on our own strength. You know, church, a curveball can either take you out or it can release the potential that God has put on the inside of you. I love God's words to Paul when Paul had curveball after curveball thrown at him. And like many of us, he felt that who he was not enough for what God had called him to. We read in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 8, Paul says, three times I prayed to the Lord about this and asked him to take it away. But his answer was this, my grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are weak. You know, when God throws you a curveball, he will always give you the grace to overcome it so that our lives can move forward, but most importantly, so that his kingdom can advance. Remember, church, grace is the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to do with ease those things that we could never do in our own strength. You know, when it comes to Jonah, the truth is this. Jonah would never have survived a day in Nineveh on his own. You know, the moment he opened his mouth to preach, they would have taken him out. But God's plan for Jonah was never that he go in his own strength. No, God was sending Jonah to Nineveh in his strength to accomplish his purpose, to bring him glory. And because of that, God would give Jonah the supernatural strength and the grace to do what he was called to do. And church, the same is true for us. You know, the reality is that none of us can do what God has called us to do in our own strength. You know, I can certainly say from my life, I've had many, many days in ministry where, you know, I felt, well, I don't really have what it takes to do what God has called me to do. And I know for those many of you who volunteer in church or those of you who are involved in some other form of ministry outside church, that you've also had many times where you felt unprepared and just not equipped enough to do the Lord's work. But you see, God's work is a supernatural work. You and I, we only have natural abilities. But whatever God calls you and I to, he will always equip us for. Let me finish with a great quote I came across. It says, remember that God does not save us and use us for what we are, but for what by his grace and mercy we may become. I hope that has encouraged you today. We'll continue next week with part two, but I want to pray for people in a moment to give your heart and your life to Jesus. You know, I just sense many of you watching have been running from God, and like Jonah, you've been doing your best to live your life your way, only to realize it doesn't work. Would you surrender to the Lord today? You know, God gave his son Jesus to die on a cross and pay the price in full for our sins. And his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness are available for all who would repent of their sins and acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior. And if you're ready to receive Jesus into your heart, then I'd love to pray with you right now. Just close your eyes for a moment. Father, I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you died on a cross for my sins. Thank you that you paid the price in full. Today I surrender to you. I open my heart to you. I acknowledge you as Lord and God. And I ask you to cleanse me of all my sins. I repent of my past. I confess all my wrongdoings before you. Thank you that I'm washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Thank you that the price was paid in full for my sins. I open my heart to you. I receive you as Lord. Thank you that I have a hope and a future. The Bible says when I make this decision, I'm born again and I belong to Jesus. I surrender to you in full. And I pray this in your precious name. And all those who prayed that said, Amen.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.